This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. And experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Well, let me see here, because I think that the Hall of Famer Fred Bottomer has sent me a few things for tomorrow's show already. Oh, yeah, I think we're going to get Sean Spicer on. We haven't had Sean. He's been very, very busy with his podcast and his show, and he'll be with us tomorrow afternoon. Jason Rantz from Seattle. Let me just play this, because we're going to get our friend TJ Moe on the show here. I heard this the other day, and I was quite stunned by it, Sue. You got to hear this. This is a senator from Washington State. They do things a little differently out there in the Pacific Northwest, right? But on the, look, I have a 10-year-old. You know that. I talk about it all the time. She's in fourth grade, so a little worried about the teenage years coming up. I don't like a lot of the stuff related to the trans issue because of social contagion. And this is a senator, a state senator in Washington, Jamie Peterson, saying this.
Kids over 13 have the complete right to make their own decisions about their mental health care. Parents don't have a right to have notice. They don't have a right to have consent about that.
When I heard that, I thought that was somehow AI generated or some other nonsense. So Jason Rantz, who does a talk show in Seattle, will react to that tomorrow. I mentioned Spicer. Oh, I'm very excited, and I think you will be too. Kenny Wallace is going to join us tomorrow.
Yay!
Kenny has been on like this European tour.
Yeah, he's back, right?
And he's in Italy. I think he was in Germany. He is back now, but his travels were fascinating. I was following them, as many people were
fun.
From afar. It was a lot of fun. So, I mean, is there going to be anything better than Kenny Wallace reflecting on an international trip to Europe?
Nope.
I don't think so. All right, last night you heard this. Crap. I warned you about the halftime show with Kendrick Lamar. I don't really understand any of it, from the choices to the music. We'll talk about it here. TJ Moe is back with us. He is a former Mizzou standout wide receiver, NFL player. He contributes to Fearless with Jason Whitlock on Blaze TV, and he's always red hot and on fire on Twitter as well. Hello, TJ Moe. How are you this afternoon?
Excellent, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Let's start with the game before we get to the cultural nonsense and the halftime show. I mean, a serious question from a football fan, and you were a football player. How does that happen? They just looked like they couldn't do, well, because they couldn't do anything. How does that happen to the Chiefs? What's your best guess there?
I just think their offensive line was totally overwhelmed. I think it's what happened to them when they played Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they lost that Super Bowl 3 years ago. I think when you get incredible penetration on the offensive defensive line, it's virtually impossible to do anything. And we've known this Chiefs team isn't that good. They won a lot of games, but it's like they set a record for winning 12 one-score games, and they had 12 comebacks this year as well. I mean, it was a very weird year where, hey, they knew how to win. That's great. They were good enough. They ran into a team that studied tape, had 2 weeks to prepare for them, and just dominated them on the offensive defensive line. And, you know, the Chiefs defense actually played decent, but after you get down like that, it's just like, you know, you had the pick six and everything else. Pat Mahomes played his worst game of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And after a little while, you just start taking risks. If you watched Pat Mahomes at Texas Tech, that's how he looked a lot of times, because Texas Tech doesn't have any offensive linemen, right? And so he's running around the Big 12 making a lot of really foolish throws. That's kind of how he looked last night.
You know, I think a lot of us put the faith in Andy Reid and Spagnuolo in Mahomes just because of the magic. But boy, that magic just wasn't there at all. I think it just became frustrating. I get it because, look, I'm a Chiefs fan, but I understand the country wasn't for him. I also understand how difficult it is to win one championship outside of three in a row or four in, you know, 6 years. So that's a tough endeavor. But just from a competitive standpoint, it was, I think, baffling to a lot of fans because there was no competition on the other side of the ball.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, there were some interesting developments yesterday. A white cornerback had a pick six. Cooper DeJean, the kid from Iowa, is the first. He's technically the slot corner, but he's a starting player. He's the first starting white corner in the NFL since Jason Sehorn. It's been like 20 years. Hadn't had an interception in the NFL yet. And he got a pick six last night. I mean, the kid is really, really good. There's been some interesting stuff. Now, there were no white people at halftime or in the pregame, but during the game, there were some white people that actually made some plays.
All right, let's talk about the halftime show. Look, I spent all of last week warning people about this from this standpoint, because I didn't understand at all how the NFL could pick a guy like this just from the very nature of his lyrics and what they represent, the N-word everywhere. He couldn't even sing the damn song he won the Grammy for and was honored for a week ago. He couldn't do it in its entirety because of the N-word. And because of allegations of, you know, pedophilia. So going in, I knew it was going to be ridiculous. But, man, the NFL had to come full circle, TJ, on this virtue signaling that started with George Floyd, didn't they?
You know, I am trying. The NFL is on the trajectory of the NBA, and that is certainly not a compliment. The NBA is losing its fans. They're sitting there trying to figure out, hey, should we move the three-point line back? Should we shorten the season? Why don't people care about our game? That's where the NBA is for those listening who don't understand that the NBA is absolutely tanking and nobody cares about that league. It's partially because they've gone so woke and their product's horrible and their players don't even care about playing hard. The NFL is on that trajectory. The NFL, while the entire country is becoming more conservative and more traditional, and Donald Trump has never had a higher approval rating. CBS did a poll last week. He was at 53%, an all-time high. I mean, even last night, when Donald Trump came out of the tunnel, the crowd erupted. Okay, he's never been more popular. And while everybody's moving that direction, the NFL is bringing Kendrick Lamar out to do the worst halftime show of all time. And I broke this down on my Twitter, if you want to go at TJMO28, where, I mean, the symbolism, the imagery, It was an America-hating bitch fest. There's not a better way to say that. To be honest with you, it was a lecture to white people. It was all on a false narrative. If you followed this at all, you're sitting. They used Samuel L. Jackson as Uncle Sam, and they used him because of his role in Django Unchained.
That's right.
He was
the house N-word, right?
House Negro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so they use him to narrate, and he's telling black people how they can act and that their behavior needs to be this way. No, too reckless, too loud, too ghetto. This is how you do it. Do you know how to play the game? And they're giving you this outline of, like, Squid Games, where it's, you know, a bunch of poor people. If you watch that on Netflix, a bunch of poor people that are, like, competing in this game system to try to win money so they can get out of this world. I mean, the whole setup, even to the American flag that was a broken American flag, and then when finally they brought it together, it was a group of black people bent over trying to demonstrate that America was really built on the backs of black people. I mean, one thing after the next. It was just a lecture of white people in general. Just generally it's ridiculous because, you know, black people don't want loud, reckless, and ghetto neighbors either, which is why as soon as they can move out of the hood, they do. So we didn't even talk about that. But the bottom line is, it was such a terrible thing to bring in. And the NFL said, yeah, sure, on the biggest stage in all of television, we'll bring that in. We'll lecture the American people here. And we're going to double down on our DEI policies. And we're going to run commercials about how women are actually better at football than men, if just given the chance. They're so disconnected.
They are. Let me get to the commercials here in a second. But on the whole thing with the halftime show, because I've been lectured, you know, we all have online by some of these progressives today. This was not one of the worst halftime shows. It was one of the most daring. Let's look at the social messaging aspect of it, because as you know, TJ, Hollywood does this every year with awards films as well. They pick movies that no one ever sees because they feel like they can hoist this message onto the American people. You can have your message anywhere you want. How about just simply trying to entertain folks during a Super Bowl halftime show? Would that really be so hard? And by the way, here's something else. This is a small ask. How about maybe an instrument, like one? I don't know, a violin or something simple. How about just one instrument in a halftime show? So I knew it was going to be sort of like that. The other thing is, you know, I don't know how you feel about the whole Drake aspect and the pedophilia allegations, but you have an entire group of people, not the whole crowd, but even if it was 10,000 people in the crowd shouting the line A minor, which is not about the musical note, it's about Drake diddling little girls. What would be the analogy for a white band doing something like that where it would be appropriate in front of a worldwide audience? I'm confused. I genuinely am confused about that.
Well, we don't have to worry about that, Mark, because white people are not allowed at the Super Bowl halftime, okay? And so we're never going to have to worry about a white person doing anything in the Super Bowl halftime at all. I have thought about this. This is amazing. If you remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, there was the Grammys, and too many white people won, and so there was hashtag Grammys so white.
Oh, yeah.
It was trending
yeah.
all over Twitter.
That's right.
Back before Elon bought it, and it was rigged. I didn't see Super Bowl so black last night, even though there were hundreds of black people on a field, not a single white person in sight, and they have not had a white performer headlining the Super Bowl halftime since 2019. Now, I don't count Eminem as white. I don't think Eminem counts himself as white either. He wasn't a headliner. But I will just tell you, that is where we are. We also had the black national anthem for who knows. I'm sure there were probably white people in that choir. They were probably told to stay home because, hey, it's the black national anthem, which actually if we all cared about the black national anthem, it would seem obvious that you'd have white people in there too trying to promote it. But nobody actually cares about it. And so I'm wondering, why don't we have all white people just sing the Star Spangled Banner? I mean, if we're actually just going to separate things out, it's like, well, why do you get your own and then be in this one that you claim is too racist? I can't really figure it out. Maybe you can straighten it out for me.
Well, you're just a racist. You're a bigot, and you're probably transphobic and all those things as well, TJ Moe, and we know that. On the commercial front, I kind of like the flag football commercial just because I thought it was interesting, but obviously they're saying that girls can play football better than boys. I wasn't clear on the messaging there.
Nobody's really clear on the messaging there. They're just trying to promote women at the expense of men. And that is the reality, right? It's just you say super, super absurd things that make no sense. The whole commercial in its entirety was just absurd. You had Pat McAfee as the principal. I mean, there was a couple whatever halfway funny parts. But it's the idea behind that. And look, the Nike commercial was just as bad about these women. They tell us you can't do this, so go do it. You can't fill a stadium. Fill a stadium. You can't be emotional. Be emotional. And then they got Caitlin Clark with the eye roll and all that. And you're like, first of all, Caitlin Clark. Nike hasn't run a commercial at the Super Bowl, and I forget what it is, like 20 years, 27, something unbelievable. They don't run commercials at the Super Bowl. They don't need to. They're Nike. But they got Caitlin Clark, their golden goose, who they mistreat and have abused her into becoming woke enough to survive in the WNBA. So they run this thing, and the whole thing is just, the world hates women. It's like, no, the whole world has propped up women. The WNBA would not exist without the charity of men, and you're just abusing us even more while we're sit here as captive viewers. We're here to watch men play football, not watch women complain about us not caring about them.
By the way, how about that moment? I didn't have you on last week, but how about that moment in the White House with President Trump and all those young women, those little girls, some of whom are my daughter's age, surrounding the president in a great moment last week, TJ Moe?
The best showman of our time. All the girls were there, which is great. He knows how to. But when he said, hey, why don't you guys come on in here? And he got the greatest picture, one that perhaps will define his presidency, because it's actually it's an 80-20 issue.
Easily.
I think J.D. Vance, a lot of people have talked about this.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, guys, everybody agrees. Trump seizes on these moments, and then this is where all the leftist women that otherwise would have nothing to do with Donald Trump, they come out and say, that is our president, by the way, because he's protecting our women. And he seized on it and got a picture with a bunch of 7-year-old girls. There's no
brilliant.
Greater showman in our lifetime.
It was brilliant. Hey, by the way, I just recommended something. We came off of an interview here before you joined me with this guy by the name of Anson Furyk. I posted this last week on Twitter. He wrote in the Free Press about his experience at Bud Light, TJ. And really, it's a great example for those people who really buy into this notion by, you know, whether it's what's her name on Face the Nation or somebody else talking about how DEI is just something that represents different, you know, colors and persuasions. Anson kind of breaks it down what happened exactly specifically at Bud Light with their woke agenda and how they fell off the, the cliff with all that stuff a couple of years ago. I don't know what you thought of that commercial yesterday because that was almost trying too hard for Bud Light.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree. And look, I'm not an alcohol guy, so if you ask me about alcohol, yeah, I'd tell you stop poisoning your body, stop drinking it, and also while you're at it, stop smoking weed too. Your life will be a lot better if you do those things. But just generally, the DEI stuff, the diversity stuff, means what we saw yesterday. It means less white people, or in yesterday's case, no white people. And all of these corporations, if they were honest, that's all they're doing. My wife worked in, before she quit her job staying with our kids, she worked in IT recruiting, and that was the gist of it. Like, it's like, yeah, hey, go get a bunch of H-1Bs, would you?
Right.
We really need to up our diversity numbers. And what that means is no white men. Got it? I mean, these are like blatant instructions from all companies. I mean, everybody's doing it, which is why, thank God, many of them are dropping it now that President Trump is back.
I think we're at a point where this is going to start turning the other direction. I do believe, not that this is the most important issue on the planet, I think we're going to get a different type of entertainment next week or next year at the Super Bowl. We'll have to see if that holds true. DJ Mo, always great to have you on. I really, really appreciate it. You're a little shy with your opinions. Sometimes we have to coax them out of you, but it's worth the it's worth putting in the work, TJ. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Thanks, Mark. You too.
Get more at 971talk.com.